This is a special series of Bible studies on the Gospel of Mark. It was done at the request of the Far East Broadcasting Company. The scripture reading is done by my good friend, Ken Brooks. Yes, this is the Emmaus Bible Hour, a program for you and your family, a time to study the Bible together. A story comes out of China of a young man by the name of Chao. This young man was from a wealthy family. He knew the usual treatment given to the rich by the communists. He was anxious to get ahead in the new government, and so he became a worker, and he read much communist literature. He was moving closer and closer to getting his red communist card. The final test was to denounce his own father before the party. He wrote out his denunciation and earned his card. When his father learned of the way his son had betrayed him, he went out and committed suicide. The son then inherited his father's wealth, and he also inherited the communist hatred. They arrested him, and he's not been heard from since. Betrayal, surely it's a terrible word. And the worst case of all is that of Judas's betrayal of the Lord Jesus. We come to that chapter in our study of the Gospel of Mark today. But before we come to the story of Judas, we have a beautiful little picture of love. Let's read Mark 14, beginning with verse 3. Ken Brooks is reading from the New American Standard Bible.
While he was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper, and reclining at the table, there came a woman with an alabaster vial of costly perfume, of pure nard, and she broke the vial and poured it over his head. But some were indignantly remarking to one another, "For what purpose was this perfume being wasted? For this perfume might have been sold for over 300 denarii, and the money given to the poor." They were scolding her. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you bother her? She has done a good deed to me. For the poor you always have with you, and whenever you wish, you can do them good. But you do not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for the burial. And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, and also which this woman has done, shall be spoken of in memory of her."
We know from another gospel that this was Mary of Bethany who anointed the Lord Jesus. This costly perfume of pure nard had come all the way from India. Here was the value of 1 year's work placed in one vial. She broke the vial. It was not to be used again, and poured it out upon his head. Often at such banquets, a few drops were put on a person, but this was unusual. She was criticized for her action by some of those present. But the Lord Jesus recognized her act for what it really was, the anointing of his body for burial. He had the cross before him. He was now very near, and here was one showing love before his death. One interesting thing that the Lord Jesus said about her was in verse 8. He said, "She has done what she could." It reminds us of the widow that we read about in a recent lesson who cast in all that she had. We often hear folk lamenting about the fact that they're not rich or talented. The Lord requires neither. He wants us to give what we have. It's full surrender of what we have to him that he really wants. The cattle on a thousand hills are his. He has no lack of riches, but he's looking for that one who will give what he or she has to him. She's done what she could. He's done what he could. And now in contrast to this beautiful picture, we have the shadow of Judas Iscariot slinking away.
And Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went off to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. And they were glad when they heard this, and promised to give him money. And he began seeking how he to betray him at an opportune time.
Money. Yes, this tells us volumes about Judas. He was a man that could be bought off. From all indications, he loved money. And what a terrible bargain he made. One writer comments, "Let us remember our Lord's caution to beware of covetousness. It's a sin that eats like a canker, and once admitted to our hearts may lead us finally into every wickedness. Let us pray to be content with such things as we have. Riches entail great peril on the souls of those who have them. The true Christian ought to be far more afraid of being rich than of being poor." And now we come to the keeping of the great Passover. We note that every detail had been worked out very carefully by the Lord Jesus. The two disciples were to look for a man carrying a pitcher of water, a very unusual sight because this was the work of the women. They were to follow this man to a house. The question in the original seems to be, "Where is my guest chamber?" Was this man a follower of the Lord Jesus who had offered his guest chamber for use? The disciples then made the room ready. In the evening he went there with the 12. It was at that time that Judas was unmasked. The one presiding at the Passover took a portion of the bitter herbs and dipped it in the dish of sauce and ate it while the others did likewise. One writer says, "Some authorities maintain that if any stranger was present, he was given a portion, a sop, but had no other share in the meal, a custom which sheds light on Jesus giving the sop to Judas." If this is the way it worked out, then the Lord Jesus, at this point, identified Judas as the stranger, even after 3 years of being with them. Notice verse 21.
"For the Son of Man is to go, just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born."
God gives to each man a free will. Here is a man who deliberately chose to go the wrong way. He was in a favored position, but he chose to use that place for his own advantage. But let's get our eyes off the betrayer and on to the Savior again.
"While they were eating, he took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to them and said, 'Take it, this is my body.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they drank from it. And he said to them, 'This is my blood of the covenant, which is to be shed on behalf of many.'"
We are moved with the simplicity of these words. Just a loaf of bread and a cup. But they speak of so much. His body sacrificed for us. His blood shed. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Do these emblems mean anything to you? No, the bread cannot save, nor the cup. But the Savior that they picture can. Don't go the way of Judas, the betrayer. He made a bad bargain. The Lord Jesus loves you, and he wants to save you right now.
Oh,